Well, so we're here with the famous and one and only Celia Garcia. Celia, welcome to the show.
Hola, Pastor Triggs. It's so nice to get a call from you and come in here and spend some time. Yeah.
It has been like a couple of years since we were doing this regularly.
Yeah. Yeah, we were. We were doing some wonderful things because you have some wonderful skills that can benefit so many in trying to get their voice out, their message out. I appreciate it all the time. Yeah.
Well, you are with Job Skills Institute, and I can't wait to, at the end, we'll get into kind of what that is, and you can tell the audience kind of how to get a hold of you, okay? But this episode, being that we're just getting started, I thought we would start with our goals. I'm not into resolutions, but I'm more into like goal setting.
Right.
And so I thought maybe I can do my three. I'll do one, and then you do one, and then I'll do two. And then you do the second. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Cool. So, and the reason why I think that talking about goals is important is not to like have people feel guilty. Because, you know, sometimes people feel like, oh, I got to do that. But it's more like to let people know that when we skip a meal, or I mean a healthy meal, or when we skip going to the gym, that it's normal. Mm-hmm. Especially, you know, as we're talking, as we mature, we're not trying to be perfect, right? And I heard Oprah just last week talking about how she doesn't diet anymore. She just thinks about what brings me joy. And she feels the healthiest she's ever been physically because she does what brings her joy. So I'll start with the first one, okay? So my first, goal for 2020 is to give up fear and anxiety. And I want to start with the kind of the more personal one, because that really is what can hinder or accelerate my goals, the rest of my professional or personal goals. And I realize, because of many things, that I deal with fear and anxiety. And sometimes, especially December and January, it's the worst. The sun is gone. There's so many expectations. I'm an introvert, even though I like people. And so all these gatherings I have to go to or church things that are more traditional, they really stress me out. And so then I end up coming home and just like really tanking. And so then the discipline has been to not just give into it, to not force it to be better, even though I am the Gozo man, but to have discipline. So I've been reading Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" And then the last verse, which is awesome for me as well, it says, "I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living," meaning in 2020. Wait for the Lord. Yes, wait for the Lord. So that's my foundation to 2020, and that's the reason why. Tell me about your first goal for 2020.
Well, first I want to add a little bit to the fact that when you do wait on the Lord, you do see the joy of the Lord in the land of the living, and that I'm actually in that season of after a long, I would say this last wait was like 10 years. So being willing to give into the time frame that he has was a big acceptance piece for me. And then he is faithful. And he's just shown me, and I'll talk a little bit about that later, because that has to do with my family and my health and my granddaughter. So the first goal for me is, and it relates a lot to this, because doing that daily practice of taking care of yourself, and it does require exercise. There's no way around it. But it is a daily fight with yourself. So it is normal. I have a problem if I don't do it every day. As soon as I skip a day or two, getting back to it, literally it could take 6 weeks. It's you can fall off the cliff real easy. And it's not that you don't want to do it or you don't need it, but it's just, it is a discipline, right? And all I want to do is be steady this year. This is another year where I did my absolute best. So I do a lot of grace for myself. You know, I've learned that over the years, not to judge myself if I'm not doing it. I know what I have to do and get back to it. But I want this year to not have so many gaps. If I could get rid of two or three different 6-week gaps, yeah, I'd be doing much better, right? And the excellent thing is not to go off on the eating and the not exercising at the same time, and then you won't have to go back feeling like, oh my God, I'm one step forward, two steps back, you know? But it makes you feel good, so it's worth it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it is working for you. As I mentioned right before we started, you look great.
And thank
you. So congratulations. You're a great example to everyone. Okay, so the second goal, okay, is for me is to collaborate. So, you were a part of that season in my life when I was working with a ton of people.
Yes, you were.
I mean, like, tons of people, Celia. I had maybe, like, 50, 70, 100, 100 people go through this table in that year, 2015, 2016.
I saw a lot of activity.
Oh, we had maybe not 100, maybe more like 50 to 75. I don't know. But it was a season for me of a lot of friendship and collaboration. And then I think midlife hit me, and it's still hitting me. I want to talk to you about this. Sure. And I kind of withdrew from a lot of people. I started to pastor my church about 3 years ago, and it's been the worst and the best, like most pastors probably feel. And so all of those joyful things just went out the window, including working with people, which I love, you know? And even like putting that thing on Facebook and you responding, it was such a dream come true for me that you're here.
Yes.
Because we have the relationship.
Yes.
But because I'm still going through it, I think hopefully soon I'll be over, done with this whole thing. I was like, man, do I really want to hang out with people? You know, like that old me comes out really quickly. And so one of my goals is to do this again.
Okay, great.
It's to work, to collaborate with people, not just with me and my computers. Mm-hmm. And I think that'll be a part of my getting through this midlife tunnel, crisis, whatever they call it, that I feel like I'm in, to find my way once again. And I know it deals with people. And especially
I was watching
like
you. I was watching you the last few months when you were doing your music.
Yes,
and your music is beautiful. I did stop and listen to it, which is fantastic. And I find in collaborating that I do have a lot of ideas, but I'll stay really stuck in those ideas until I actually work with a partner. And that's when the energy comes and moves me forward. Yes. And so I hear that. That's a lot of things that a lot of people are going to have to get used to now that we're moving into the gig economy. And a lot of jobs are going to become independent contractors and people working alone. We're kind of veterans at this because we've been doing this for a long time. And
the gig economy,
that would be where you're not going to a job full time. You're not going every day, 5 days a week. You're actually an independent contractor and working from your own office, your own home, or wherever, where a company doesn't really have control over your time or place or the way you do the work. They've just contracted you for a service. And it's estimated that about half of the jobs are going to be that way now, like 2020 moving forward, because of all the cost savings, because of all of the travel people have to do, and it's affecting their health. I mean, a lot of these things that we're experiencing now are years and years of poor planning. You know, everybody's going from the furthest to the job. Why can't we find work closer to us? But in this case, being a virtual worker. And so that's going to be, I've seen a couple of people kind of take a step into that were working full time for an organization. And then they were given an opportunity because they closed the office and they allowed the staffers to work virtually. And some people excel and some people fall flat because of the discipline and maybe the solitude, you know, maybe they go take a nap. I don't know.
Might be what we need sometimes, right?
Yeah, I actually love that about working on my own is I go by my body clock.
Right.
My body tells me, Have you read the book? I haven't read it yet, but I want to, from Michelle, who wrote the book, Your Body, My Body Speaks.
No.
And it's all about her journey with her husband and the health, the food, the change in food, everything that she did when he was diagnosed with cancer. And she, Pastor Lee knows her. I'm going to send you the book.
Sure.
And I just think all of our experiences are worth talking about and sharing with other people, because a lot of people are going through the same thing. And that's where the collaboration piece is so wonderful, because we're going through the same thing, wanting to get to the same place. And every time we retreat and try to do it ourselves, it doesn't happen. That's the bad thing, that it doesn't happen. You know, that we want to go places, we want to do big things for the Lord and for people. But when we retreat and try to do it ourselves, it doesn't take place.
You know, thank you for saying this, because it's giving language and, I guess, permission to what I've been feeling. I thought I could do it on my own. Build a big church, be this media personality, build a media company. And I don't think deep inside I wanted to do it alone. I just thought, well, I can do this. I can still.
And
it's true, right?
And we're going to do it.
But
yeah.
Something happens in here. And like you said, the ideas aren't as good, or the dreams don't get fulfilled to the extent that we hope. And it's really interesting. This is amazing what you're saying. It really is speaking to me, that the timing is better now. Part of the problem that we have is we're such pioneers and creatives. We're always like 5 years ahead of everyone. And it's so tiring to be ahead of everyone. Right? Because then you're like, no one followed me. But I know this is right. So then you're like, oh, man. And now it's like everyone's doing this. I mean, Celia, we did this. I remember when no one was doing this. I got all this gear way back. And then I got tired because, oh, man, no one's like, it wasn't yet like there was no tipping point. Now it's like, the tipping point is just beginning, you're saying.
And I have a lot of friends like that, that are professional, you know, solopreneurs that have been out on their own trying to, you know, forge a way to a business, you know, to satisfy their needs of accomplishing something, to satisfy their needs of using the skills that they have, that they know they have. And they've done all the preparation, but it hasn't materialized the way they thought or the way they hoped. But it's just a matter of time is what I tell them. That all of those, we start feeling guilty and we start feeling a little bit like losers, just a little bit, not much, Lord. But because we started here, but what I feel in my heart is that God puts all those pieces together eventually in something that's fantastic, and that we shouldn't worry about it. We should just keep developing those skills, keep trying, keep experimenting, and God's going to do all the best, including for you, your call to have me join you today. It's all how you see it.
Amazing. I don't know what to say.
Because I thought that was fantastic.
This is like,
I'm like,
so
yeah.
Bigger than I expect,
I'll go.
You know, not just this season, but this moment is so.
Thank you.
And you are just at a wonderful place.
God is good.
Mentally.
And just so we remember, it came from the worst brokenness, the worst pain.
The worst.
Yeah. And I, God keeps reminding me over and over with, you know, now with my grandchild and with my daughter. My first daughter got married. My second daughter got married. Big deal for a single mom like me to see them well partnered and moving forward with their lives. It's a big deal. Things that I cannot do for my children, the Lord does for me. I mean,
well, let's
so
say this third one.
Yeah.
That's
oh, that's right.
Tell us about the second goal for 2020.
Well, it's going to be the eating because, and I started this last year. I had a good friend, Christian woman that I'm working with, Lauren Uribe from the Inland Empire, and she's on this thing called Revelation. Something revelation, and it was a fast. It was a 21-day fast for no sugar, and it was the hardest one because it eliminated everything that has sugar and turns into sugar, which is everything. But but you know, but it also had your, you know, your spiritual journey and conversations about what the Lord is doing, why he wants you to be best. There's things he wants you to do, and he wants you to be healthy for it. And I want to be healthy for it. I want to have the energy for it when he calls, you know. And so it's really important to test yourself that you can do a fast, that you can do some kind of detox.
And you did that?
Yeah, yeah, I did that for 21 days. It was fantastic. Yeah. Because you don't need all that sugar. You just don't. And it's killing you, right? They're saying really it feeds cancer, and nobody wants that. So if they're telling you that, then I would say, you know, we need God's help to do the things we need to do right for ourselves, to honor him and this wonderful body that he's given us that is always on healing mode, but sometimes we're always cranking it backwards. So we're not in partnership with him on trying to be our best selves. And I think if we do that, we could be an inspiration to other people who want the right kind of healing. And, you know, there's no doubt we're not going to enjoy the fruits of this joy that God's given us on this earth if we're not healthy.
That's right. Okay, so the third goal that I have for 2020 is to focus on home. And all this goes together, you know, as you can imagine, right? So because of this kind of introversion and this, I don't know, hibernation perhaps that I've been going through, this liminal space, some people call it, basically feeling lost, I have kind of like said, well, we'll go on a date next week. Well, I'll fix the microwave next time. And I try, and then, like Isabella, just last week, went on a trip to Santa Cruz. And she's so sweet. She's like, Papi, would you look at my car? And it moved me so much. First, as she asked me, because, you know, the worst thing for a father is that your kids won't ask you anymore, right? Because you don't do anything for them. But she asked me, and you know me. I mean, you know how we are. I was like right at the corner at the liquor store and at the gas station, just fixing everything for her and getting all the tires pumped with air and, you know, just doing all that dad stuff. Yeah. And she went to Santa Cruz with all her friends, and the car did fine. But I realized how much I have ignored, let that go, because of my own stuff, you know. So yesterday was my wife's birthday, and she wanted a new microwave because the one that we've had, to be fair, it just broke, right? And it's not like it's easy to fix a microwave, but again, I love watching YouTube videos. I didn't buy a new one. I fixed the old one because it was only a year old.
I think that's
and I fixed the microwave. I love fixing things like that. And I fixed it. And then with that money that I would have spent on the microwave, I bought her a gift card to her favorite stores. And it was such a wonderful moment for me to do what I love to do for her. And so I want to continue that mindset as I heal, as I get better, to be there for her, first of all, and then for our three kids.
Yeah. Oh, you have three girls.
Two girls and a boy.
Two girls and a
yeah,
boy.
Yeah, so yeah. Yes, yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
I loved it when my daddy filled up my tank with gas.
Yeah, I've done that
was good.
Too. That's right. So tell us about your third, speaking of family,
well,
right?
It just follows on you in the house yeah. because the organizing. Yeah. You know, so I'm a teacher and I collect a lot of materials and curriculum and supplies and all kinds of things, right? And every time I put myself to the task to throw things out, there's plenty that I can get rid of. And I don't know why I don't do that more continuously, right? I have a whole big project in my own suite to kind of get rid of almost half of what I have. And I've tried it and I've tried it and I've tried it, you know? But it would be embarrassing if you walked in right now and saw the piles of things that I still haven't organized. So, and I even worked for a company this year, American Woodwork, to do some training for their employees. And I get to buy, like, you know how they set up all the garage with the cabinets on the side? That's my dream. So that all the middle is, because I have a huge space there, would be open space. It's not open space right now. And it's hampering, you know, some projects I want to do, like, you know, set up my studio and, yes. and you know, use the space effectively. So if that's going to get in the way of my dreams, I really want to, okay, I'm going to have to say it. I'm going to have to let people in to help me.
Oh,
oh. I'm gonna, and my daughters are the ones that want to help me. Oh. So they, and they're pretty good. They got that thing. They got the thing. I don't got it.
They got the thing, the talent,
the organizing gene. Oh my God. So praise the Lord for my daughters.
Right.
They have the genes I don't have. And it's kind of depressing that I don't get to it and I don't get to it, but you know, grace.
Yes, grace.
Grace and peace is all I follow. And, but you know, it's gotta happen. This next quarter is what it's gonna, so I could order those wonderful cabinets and design the space of my dreams, right? Like, you would think that that would motivate me, right? Yes. So those are, that's key. Did I give you three without giving you my granddaughter?
Granddaughter, because 6 weeks, wow.
Oh my God, she's beautiful and gorgeous and perfect and wonderful and just really has brought me joy.
Really?
Joy to see my daughter be a mother, to see her be such a natural, loving, kind, mature. I had my children very young. My daughter's 35. Her husband is a school teacher, biology, and a very, very loving father. To see them together, I mean, just I see everything the Lord is doing, and I am so grateful. Like, thank you, Lord, for those eyes to see things as everything as a blessing that's coming from you, in all your good timing. You know, yeah.
How beautiful.
I'm very full of joy. And so now the rush to try to organize my work and my income on one end, on a part-time, earning full-time, nothing less, right?
Right.
And more at the, Jesus, I ask you, right? And in that way, I can support my daughter in caring for my granddaughter, which is every day a dream. So I want that so bad.
And
she's 6 weeks old. Yes. Yes. Her name is Eleanor and she's precious. And I'm just grateful also that I had the opportunity to do a lot of extra work over the summer and into November so that I was able to spend these 6 weeks with her. And I am very, very happy.
Right, gozo,
yeah.
Huh? That's amazing.
Gozo,
Lambia.
Mucho gozo. Sí.
Now, let's go back. This is not maybe a part of the agenda per se, but it intrigues me because it relates to where I'm at and I think where maybe some of the listeners are.
Sure.
Tell me about this whole thing of kind of this gig. What did you call it?
The gig economy.
Yeah. Tell me, do you think that this that we're doing here and a lot of other people are doing, how can people benefit from this?
I think there's a lot of transition that's going to happen from people in the work that they do, okay. Right? And I think it's a good thing, even though for some people it's going to be a shocker. So everywhere that we can prepare them and let them know what are steps they can take to better themselves and transition to that new sector, that new job, or that new way of contracting their expertise helps them. Because not a lot of people are talking about that on an individual basis, like how does this affect you? Employees are finding that out. You know, I do training. I'm in a company, you know, several times a week, upgrading the skills of their workforce. And so what's happening right now is all of these sectors that we have, they're being disrupted by technology and other changes. And so wherever a job is repetitive, and you know, for a lot of our community, if they're in manufacturing, it could be very repetitive. So you have started to see companies lay off and close. You've started to see a little bit of that because they don't need the employees. They're not going to keep them if their jobs can be done by technology or robotics. And we're going to move into kind of a workplace now that is combined with people, subject matter experts, contractors, vendors, robots. I mean, we're literally going to be working with them. And so we're not used to that thought. You know, it's kind of space age, you know, when you look at it. But when you think of Amazon that already takes orders, packages the orders, ships the orders, delivers the orders with very little human touch, that should, you know, get you thinking. Yes. And so I'm working for a company right now that I'm doing some recruiting for, and they're not at all thinking of hiring people as employees. They want them to perform the duties that as a contractor paid on commission. So that's another change, that people have to be confident in their skills and their abilities and know how to contract in order to get paid, because, you know, sometimes you work and you don't get paid by an employer or by a contractor. So just signaling to them that there's things that they need to learn and kind of put into place for themselves so that they're open to this kind of employment or that kind of employment. Well, I think the first thing that anybody needs to do is really assess their skills, because we have people working, you know, every day I'm talking to people in the workplace, and they are unaware of what skills they have, unaware of how those skills can transfer into a different job, unaware if they've been working for an employer for more than 3 years, which many of them, you know, we have a very loyal workforce, have been there for 17 years, 23 years, you know. They outside of the company to look for the kind of information that tells them what their value today is out on the job market, because they've kind of had blinders on and they've been kind of accepting for all those years 50 cents a year increase, you know, or 10 cents sometimes. I mean, it's just to really know what you're worth is really important. To know what your skills are is really important. And then to try to work with a coach or someone or just use tools that are available to determine what are your options and kind of start a plan, even if you're not ready to move, because you might not ever be ready to move if you don't have a plan. You might think it's too scary. And also you might not have a choice when to move when a company just gives you a pink slip or closes. I was in San Bernardino last week doing a job fair, looking for recruits for a company selecting, and most of the people there had been there from Tyson Chicken. They just closed. And so that's a lot of people. And one of the things that concerns me about our community is that what I saw there was proof again of what I've been speaking of, and that is that when they're out of work, most workers think of going back to the same thing they were doing because that's where they think they can get the most money, because that's where they have their experience. But they have an opportunity at that point to see how they can transition into something better and higher. And I don't think they give themselves that opportunity.
I've noticed the same thing, especially when it comes to, well, in my world of church and music and media, how traditional churches, I'm at a traditional church, they know that something is not working, meaning young people aren't interested in things, or if they are, they're not fully engaged, but they don't know exactly what to do. And I don't know exactly, like, here's step one, two, and three, but I know that it includes collaboration, media, content. I mean, one of the things that I thought, I used to create a lot of content, and I feel like I do. My wife calls me a CCM, a content creating machine. She's like, and I feel that way, you know, and I did this just out of natural instinct. And plus, you know, I'm like a nervous energy kind of guy. So, but I realize how actually we got to create even more content. Because, I mean, there's obviously there's so much stuff and there's saturation, but if people are into you, they want more. Mm-hmm. It's a whole like Netflix binge kind of thing. If people enjoy a show, what do? You just keep going, right? I don't know if that's an addiction, if that's like good or bad, but if we want to have a positive message of gozo or of Jesus or of job creation, we have to create constant content, like daily. What used to be like, oh, a daily is too much. And you may not want to do a whole thing like this every day, but we have to be where people are at, where the eyeballs are. And so I think the other thing, at least that I've been feeling, is you can't just, like for me, I'm a pastor, but I can't just spend all day preaching the Bible and visiting the sick. I have to record shows. I have to talk to guests. I have to have a media company. I have to be a musician making beats, working with rappers and artists. I can't just be a pastor in the 1950 forms of just preaching and visiting people in the hospital. I will become a dinosaur and die with the church. Plus, it limits us. That's not. How do you view the modern day creator or, you know, coach or teacher? What are some of the things that we have to do now?
Well, you know what's interesting about that is that I was doing a presentation and showing some of the workers some of the jobs that are going to disappear, yeah, right? But some of the jobs that are going to be in demand is teacher, is a teacher, is someone that can transfer knowledge and experience and expertise and who can develop a way for people to transition. Right. And it's all in the results. So looking at I wish we could develop programs where we have content and we're actually in touch with the people that are listening to us. And then we're coaching them through how are they going to take those steps of what they heard and what they learned in our course and actually recording the results so we could see that transformation actually taking place. I think that a lot of programs that are out there to help people fall short of that. And so there's going to always be a need for that. And also the lightning speed in which you could learn something. I just bought, a friend of mine suggested a software. I'm really, you know, I get lost in software. Just lost. And I bought a course from a gal that she had for $25. Sure, I'm going to have to invest probably all weekend going through the course. There's still that discipline factor of finishing the course and absorbing the information. But at least I have a way through. And I don't have to wait for the next college semester, or I don't have to, you know, none of that. It's instant. It's on demand. I think what people also, though, not just the content, they want to hear about experiences. They want to hear those stories that tell them what they can give themselves permission to try and do because others did it. So I think when you're using content in combination with a real story, real people. Somebody that I love and that is one of my mentors in training, I want to do, you know, big events, and I would hope that there would be enough people to come that I could really share that knowledge and really impact their lives. And so I'm learning those techniques. Basically, he suggested we pull people out of the audience and talk to them. So it's all that human connection, but related to real people. That's, I think, where the, you know, we don't want to disconnect. We don't want to just be putting stuff out and spinning our wheels unless we can actually see that people are benefiting from it. And that should lead us in that direction.
That's really wise, because that's where people will want to listen to us, is if they actually are changing. Their lives are being transformed by experiences, stories, not just by constant content.
And that's where you'll have fruit, because it'll be all those testimonials of actual people you served that will draw other people, you know. So there's no shortage of problems that we're going to have this year, but where we can be effective in helping others deal with their issues as well, by sharing how we dealt with ours, you know, we can be an inspiration, hopefully, you know, because that's what we're trying to do with all our words and our content, is try to edify people and show them there's always a way, because Jesus always provides a way, always.
So thank you so much, everyone, for listening. I hope that you were inspired by this conversation with Celia. Celia, where can people find you if they want to learn more about your work?
They can find me at jobskillsinstitute.com, or they can go to celiagarcia.biz and ask me any question, book an appointment with me, or just send me some note about what you're doing and what kind of questions you might have about job search and career advancement, anything like that.
That's right. And so we're hoping to do this. We're still figuring out the details, but every week. And so I hope that we can have you back every week to tune in, to listen to Celia and our conversations around these topics of job skills and kind of this new economy. I love this term, gig economy. I hadn't heard that before, so you'll learn new terms as well. And really, I think for me, if you want to, I guess, collaborate, speaking of collaborate, with us, we'd like to extend that invitation. I feel that God has given me this skill, this locura, as my grandma calls it, or used to call it, of talking and of being a host and all this gear for our purpose. And I feel like it's that purpose is going to become greater. But I can't do it alone. Neither can us. Neither can you. And so drop us an email, leave us a comment below. There's a bunch of links there in the description at the bottom of this video. And so we can work together and build a movement of people that love God and that want to help people transition into this new whatever this is. And it really is not even about an age or a culture. This is something that we're going through as a global society. You might be from another country, another language. You might be 20, you might be 30, 50, 60. We're all in this together, aren't we?
Yeah, we all actually go through pretty much the same things.
We're all going through the same things.
The same struggles, the same...
Yeah. Same ups and downs.
Only we're fortunate that we're believers and we have something to hold on to. But we still struggle. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's okay.
Yeah, so we want to invite you. Make sure that you like, comment, subscribe, smash that notification bell. If you're listening to this in the Apple Podcast app, make sure that you subscribe and you give us a 5-star review. And make sure that you follow Celia. And thank you so much for being here, Celia.
Thank you, everyone. Have a blessed day.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android.
Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.